Okay, well, today is week two of our series called Asking for a Friend. And let's be honest, sometimes there are questions that are too much to ask out loud. In fact, let me ask you this. Have you ever asked a question? You know, maybe you're in the car driving with some friends, or maybe you're hanging out with some people at work, and you just ask this question, you blurt it out loud, and all of a sudden people start looking at you like with this strange look, like you either offended them, like, you know, things got really awkward, or that, you know, what you said, you know, in some kind of way, they have this shocked face. Have you ever done that? Now, maybe you don't want to, I'm asking not for you, but I'm asking for a friend. Maybe there's people who have done that. And what we do in those moments when things get awkward, or when we realize, well, this question is too difficult to admit that it's my question, we say, well, I'm not asking for me, I'm asking for a friend, right? I'm asking for a friend. And that's what we're doing in this series, Asking for a Friend. And I wanted to share a couple of kind of funny moments that we've been following on Facebook and stuff like that, Twitter. There's a lot of asking for a friend things that people share that are so funny. And I thought I would just, let me share a couple with you that I found this week. Here's the first one, is this. Is it normal to throw your back out trying to suck in your belly at the beach? Asking for a friend, right? Some are like, that's my reality, you know, asking for a friend, not you. Here's another one. This is like the college dorm kind of question, and here it is. Can you cook bacon with a hair straightener? Asking for a friend, right? You know, there's got to be a college student that did that, you know, like you got to, when you need bacon, you got to have bacon, right? Which, by the way, coming up on Father's Day, I'm excited. It looks like we're going to have a bacon bar, man. So get ready for that. But there's nothing better than having bacon grease in your hair. Amen? No, that's not good. Well, in this series, what we're doing, asking for a friend, is we're looking at questions about life and questions about faith that that your friend might want to know. And so the question we're looking at today is really a question that so many people wonder, especially in the church. So many people are thinking this, especially in the church, but we don't usually want to ask it out loud because we don't want to sound unspiritual, you know? Like, especially in the church. Like, we don't want to sound like, I mean, we trust God, but we don't want to sound like we don't trust God, and so we don't ask it. But here's the question I want us to dive in today, and it's this. Does prayer actually change anything? Does prayer actually change anything? I mean, I know the Bible talks about prayer and that Jesus says that we should pray. Like, you know, we know we're supposed to pray, but let's be honest. It's one of those things where what's really the point of prayer? Like, what happens? Does God really get involved to actually change what's happening in our real situations? Do our prayers change anything about how God responds? And maybe you haven't thought this before, but maybe you have a friend that has. And I want you to know that if you've ever thought that question before, like, I mean, does this prayer thing actually do anything? Is it making any kind of difference at all? I want you to know that it doesn't mean that you have less faith if you've ever thought that before. In fact, I want to kind of applaud you today. Because one of the things that I love, and one of the things Jesus loved, is people who are real about their faith, who are real about their life, and not trying to play pretend and not trying to play religious games. I think it says a lot about you that you don't want to just go through the motions of religion, that you actually want to know that when you do something that God's going to get involved. And so I think it's a good thing. But even if you grew up in a Christian home, I know that prayer can sometimes be an awkward or a weird experience for so many people. That's why oftentimes maybe you're in a refresh group and you go around and say, well, who would like to pray to close us out? And everybody's like, you know, looks around. And there's some people who are like, I don't want to pray out loud because what if I get it wrong, or what if I say it badly, or, you know, like I'm not a good prayer-er, you know? You know, for so many people, even if you grew up in a family who prayed, I would imagine that there were two big times when you prayed growing up, if that was a part of your life. The two big times are, for most families, are, you know, at a meal when you ate and before you went to bed when you slept, right? Those are the two big times. Which is kind of funny. It's kind of weird if you think about it. I mean, I remember, like, you know, we would pray a lot of different times in my family, but I remember thinking about that, and like, should I be concerned about the food that we're about to eat, you know? Like, you know, Mom, like, you know, what's wrong with the meatloaf? You know, this is meatloaf, right? You know, like, should we be concerned that something's going to happen to us? Do we need to pray over this, right? Here's the other thing. When you go to sleep, it's like, should I be concerned that somebody's after us when we're sleeping? Like, are monsters really real that we got to pray and make sure that nothing bad happens to us? Maybe that wasn't your reality, but it resonates with me. And growing up, we would oftentimes pray at church, like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, was a recited thing. We would let the preacher pray. But at home, like, we would by and large pray the same prayers. We would recite the same prayers. And it was God and my parents were teaching me how to pray. But we would recite, when we would go to bed, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord, my soul to keep. And we would pray. And then we would fill in what we want to pray for. And it was teaching me to pray. But we would recite it. Or, for my family, it gets a little crazy in my family with my kids. They do the five little fingers here, five little fingers there, and they put them together, and then they say the same prayer, Father, we thank you, Father, we thank you. And they drag it out sometimes, so I'm like, let's get the beat, let's go, and I'm ready to eat, right? But anyway, this is what prayer is for so many people. And then when we get a little bit older, it's interesting because the times that we typically pray, you see this all over, when people are saying, I need some prayer right now. It's usually when something really important is about to happen or when something's really wrong. Like, oh man, that must be real bad if you got to pray for it, right? But we sometimes think that prayer is some religious box that we got to check or maybe this magic set of rules that we got to say right. And then if we say it right, then maybe something will happen. Maybe God will answer it in a different way. But here's what I want to tell you. Here's what prayer is. Prayer is simply this. Prayer is talking with God. Prayer is talking with God. Now, that may be really, really elementary for you and really basic for you, right? I want to unpack that a little bit today. For many people, this may be super groundbreaking. Like, talking with God, I thought we were just like reciting something. Talking with God, I thought we were just singing a song at the dinner table. But for you, this may be really elementary and stuff like that. But the thing is, I really believe that if we could grasp that reality that when we pray, we're talking to God, it would change our faith and it would change not only our motivation to pray, but we would be hungry to pray. And just think about that for a moment. Sit in that. When we pray, we're talking with God. We're talking to God. Like the God, you mean like the God who put the stars in the sky, like we're talking to him? You mean like the God who created the world and everything in it? You mean like the God who created you and he created me and knows everything that's going on in our lives? You mean we get to talk to him? Like that's the incredible thing. And I love being a church that reaches out to everybody. But a church that can also reach back to people who maybe don't have a church background or a Christian background. Because for so many people, when you hear that prayer is talking to God, they're like, wow, we get to talk to God when we pray? Like, and so many times we get numb to that as the more we get going in our faith, we sometimes don't realize. Like the God who, I love this, when we're talking to God, we're talking to the one who is so powerful. The God who is so holy that in the book of Isaiah, it says that angels, not just you and me, but angels had to hide their faces before the presence of God, right? And so the thing is, God has given us this incredible pathway for us to connect with God through prayer, to talk, not through a veil, not through some special religious ambassador that might be more holy than us, but that we get to boldly come before God. When we pray, we're talking to the living God. And so, does prayer change anything? Does prayer change anything? At the most basic level, prayer changes things. Here's number one, why prayer changes things. Prayer changes things because prayer connects us directly to God. Prayer connects us directly to God. This is like, you can call him on your cell phone kind of thing and talk to God in prayer, right? Prayer, when we talk to God, what it means is the one who is so holy, we can talk to God like we're talking to a friend, right? He's still holy, he's still God, but we can come to God and talk to him like he's a friend. So prayer changes things because God is involved. In John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking with his disciples, and it's one of the times when Jesus unleashes this incredible truth about prayer. And I want you to check out what Jesus said. Now, this is not just Paul's words or somebody else. This is Jesus. I want you to check out what Jesus says about prayer in verse 11 through 14. Here's what it says. Jesus said, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." In other words, we are connected. So when you talk to me, you're talking to the Father. When you talk to the Father, you're talking to me, right? Or at least believe on the works, on the evidence of the works themselves. Verse 12. It says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Now here's the big truth, verse 13. He says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14, he says, "You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it." I don't know about you, but that is a crazy promise. That is a crazy promise that God, that Jesus tells us about prayer. Like, "I will do whatever you ask in my name." It's like, goodness, I better start praying, you know? Here's the thing, here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we just approach God like a genie, where we ask him some wishes, and if we say the code right in Jesus' name, then all of a sudden he just grants us all of our requests. That's not what it means. Prayer isn't about bending God's will to our wishes. Prayer is really about getting our lives in harmony and in sync with God and his kingdom purposes. And so here's the second way that prayer changes things. Number two is this. God uses prayer to change you. God uses prayer to change you and align you with God's kingdom purposes. That's what prayer does. It changes us. And so in John chapter 14, Jesus is not saying, "Just use the code in Jesus' name." That's what my kids do sometime, you know? Like, they're like, they don't say, "I pray." They say, "I hope," right? It's like, "I hope." I'm like, "No, you pray. You're asking God," right? Let's say, "I pray that I can get a snack right now in Jesus' name." I'm like, "No, it doesn't work like that," right? That's not like, that's the code, you know, the password. It's not like that. But the promise is this, that God will always answer our prayers when we pray things that are in alignment with who God is. When we pray things that are in alignment with God's kingdom purposes. And so when we pray something like this, like, "God, can you just hurt my coworker who just hurt me?" It's like, no, that's not part of God's will, and that's not part of God's character. But when you start praying something like, "God, I'm in a conversation right now," and all of a sudden you just came up in this conversation with this person who's not a church person, "God, I just pray right now that you would help me to talk with them in a way that will help them to see your love." God's like, "Let's do it. I'll help you." You know, pray things according to his will. Then in John chapter 15, the very next chapter, verse 7, here's what Jesus said, John 15, 7. He said this. He says, "If you abide or remain in me, and my words abide or remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." It's like, did you catch what I said in 14? Here it is again, right? I love this promise. And it's almost like the truth is, prayer is like a key that unleashes the promises of God. And then we get a little bit further in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Here's what Jesus said again. He says, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." It's like, man, there is something about this prayer stuff that God seems to have a way of wanting to answer when we bring our requests to God. And so a prayer is not just this aimless conversation. It really is something where when we turn our faith toward God and we trust God to ask him for something, God is delighted to come through. Now here's the third way that prayer changes things, and it's this. Number three, when we pray, God promises to move. So the first thing is we're talking to God. Prayer changes things because we're talking to God. Prayer changes things because it changes us. But God also changes things around us when we pray. When we pray, God promises to move. And I don't know why, I don't know how, but what I know is that your Heavenly Father delights in coming through when we ask God for things. Like, when we pray, God opens doors, God opens eyes, God opens hearts, God opens up possibilities that would not happen if we did not pray. And because prayer is talking to God, we're connecting to an unlimited power source when we pray. And so, when we look at the incredible promises about prayer, we see that our Heavenly Father is wanting to move, but so many times, he just wants us to have the faith to ask. You know, one of the most powerful moments of answered prayer for me, I've shared with you before, was really right before I met my wife, Mandy. I was in seminary. I was in Kentucky. And I remember, honestly, quite honestly, I had given up on, like, ever meeting somebody, right? I was like, I'm in Kentucky. This is a land far away. You know, like, I guess, God, you don't care about that for me. And I stopped asking. Can I be honest? That was one of those things where I was like, God, I've trusted you for so many things, but I guess you don't care about this. And so I stopped asking. But I went to this chapel service at Asbury Seminary, and when I was there, Peter Gregg was the speaker, and Peter Gregg came from England. He ran the 24/7 prayer movement in England, and one of the things he said hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, whatever you ask for in prayer, God never forgets and always answers. I was thinking, God, I thought you forgot, you know? You hadn't come through, and I thought you forgot. And I thought that you just weren't going to answer me, you know? Whatever you ask for in prayer, God never forgets and always answers. And so I went back that day in the chapel. I just had this really raw moment of prayer with God where I was like, God, whether you answer it right now or not, here's what I just want to trust you again, and I want to ask you again. And I asked God, like, God, I don't know what the timing is. I don't, like, help me to be in a place where I'm ready for the right person. But God, if it's your will, if this is the right timing, introduce me to who that is. Not even lying. I get back that night to my dorm room in seminary, and I had a Facebook friend request from this girl named Mandy, who people had been trying to set me up with and talk to me about for a year. And I was like, duh, you know, I was trying to work in this, but God had to do some extra work. And the rest is history, right? So it's just cool how God answers prayers. Prayer changes things because God answers prayers. But the thing is, for some of you may be saying, well, that doesn't make any sense because I prayed and nothing happened. I prayed and something that I didn't want happened. The thing we got to understand is how God answers prayers. And I think there's four primary ways that God answers prayers. Sometimes here's what your answers may be. Yes, that's good. No, not yet, or like wait, you know, or you decide. Yes, no, wait, or you decide. These are the primary ways God answers prayers, and we love hearing yes. Like, God, can this happen? Yes, and an open door, and all of a sudden it happens. But sometimes when we ask something in prayer, it doesn't mean it's bad. Sometimes God will say no. He will not answer the prayer the way we wanted it to happen. And it's not because God doesn't care. Sometimes God says no because God is protecting us from something that we don't see that's up ahead of us. And sometimes God says no, check this out. Sometimes God says no because he wants to say yes to something with a much higher purpose that you didn't even realize. Sometimes God says no because, look, this thing is not a good fit for you, but I'm going to say yes to something else. And I'm going to answer that prayer that you have, but not in the way that you thought. In the way you specifically prayed for it. So sometimes God says no. But at the same time, a lot of times God will say, wait, not yet. I don't like that. I want it now, right? You know, I want this to happen now and my way. And God's like, just chill. Be still and know that I'm God. This is not the right timing right now, but I'm going to say yes. Just wait. Just wait. The reason God says wait a lot of times is because if God were to give you exactly what you wanted in the season that you're asking, sometimes God says wait because God has to grow you to a place so that you can be ready to receive that. Sometimes, let's say, God, I pray that you put me on this other kind of platform, and God may be saying wait because if I put you on that platform, your character could not handle that. I've got to grow you and shape you so that I can prepare you for that, right? Wait. But then this is the funny one. Sometimes God just says, you decide. You decide. It's funny, you may have two great options. Like, God, when am I supposed to do this or this? And sometimes it's just choose. Both are good. You're still in my will. Choose. Should I have Coke or Pepsi? God, what should I do? You decide. For it's freedom that Christ has set you free. And so in order to understand the last thing, in order to understand prayer, and why we should pray, we also have to understand a little bit about the will of God. And it's interesting because when it comes to the will of God and when it comes to prayer, we oftentimes have two assumptions that keep us from praying, two false assumptions that keep us from praying. The first false assumption is this, is that God is sovereign, we know that, but God doesn't get involved with the details of our lives. And this is really a belief called deism. If you've ever heard that before, this is actually, deism is a belief that a lot of our founding fathers of America actually believed in. People like Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Paine. And it's not necessarily bad things or bad people. It's a belief in God. It's this belief, like, we know that God is real, and we believe that God created everything that exists. But here's where this changes, and here's where it becomes not right. It's this belief that God created everything in the beginning and set it up like a clock, wound it up, and then God steps back and just lets everything happen, never getting involved with the details of what happens. He's already set out his will and his purpose, and it's just going to kind of run like a train, and God never steps in the middle of it. And it's one of those things where if you believe that God's not involved, then why in the world should we pray? Like, nothing you say, nothing you do, nothing you pray would ever change anything. So there's no purpose in praying, right? And so it would really mean that God is either not listening, that God doesn't care, or that God doesn't have the will or the capacity to actually change anything. And so if that's the case, he wouldn't really be God. And you see why this is an assumption that we sometimes have. That, well, you know, it's not going to change anything anyway. God's not really involved. But when you read Scripture, God is so involved. When we pray, God changes things. Here's the second false assumption that we sometimes have when it comes to prayer. And it's this, that since God is sovereign, everything that happens is God's will. Since God is sovereign, since God is in control, in other words, everything that happens is God's will. Like, God's will is going to happen no matter what, right? Like, if I pray, God's will is going to happen. If I don't pray, God's will is going to happen. You see that? And it's this thing where it's kind of like nothing's going to change because God's will is going to happen regardless of how I live and how I respond. But the truth is, we live in a fallen, broken world. We live in a world that has been marred by sin, and we have been given by God this incredible privilege, the opportunity to choose. To choose whether we follow God or to choose whether we walk away from God in every moment. Not just your whole life, in every situation. And it's one of those things where we see over and over and over as we see the Scripture that we can live inside of God's will, or we can choose to live outside of God's will in every single moment. And there's story after story of that in the Bible. The story of Adam and Eve is a great example. God had this incredible plan for all of humanity. Like, Adam and Eve, this is what I'm giving you and all your descendants. And they blew it. And we blew it. And they chose, and we chose, to walk away from God's good plan. And all of a sudden, everything happens. The fall happens. Everything's turned upside down. We see this not only with Adam and Eve, but we see it with the nation of Israel. Like, God had plans for the nation of Israel, and they kept yo-yoing in their relationship with God, back and forth, following him and then not. We see it with the story of Jonah. Remember Jonah? How Jonah, God comes to Jonah, has a big plan for Jonah. This is my will. Go to Nineveh. Go to that great city, and I want you to preach my word to this city. And Jonah's like, uh-uh. And what does he do? He runs in the literally exact opposite direction from where God wanted him to be, right? And outside of the will of God. At the same time, we see it with the story of the prodigal son in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 15. The son who ran away from his family, squandered his family's inheritance on wild living, running his life in his own direction until he suddenly realized that he drove his life pretty much into a ditch. And it's this situation where all of a sudden he's living outside of God's will and everything's just not right. And these stories, it shows us that we can live in God's will, but we can also choose to live outside of what God's will is. Not everything that happens means we magically fall into God's will. But these stories, both of them, Jonah and the prodigal son, also remind us that even when we've gotten outside of God's will, that it's never too late. It's never too late to receive forgiveness from God. And even when if we got outside of God's will, since God is involved, it means that God's grace always offers us a fresh start. And so that's why prayer matters. That's why we've got to pray, to be connected with God so that we can follow God. Prayer changes things. God changes us, and God changes things when we pray. And so here's how I want to invite you to respond. Great, talk about prayer. We should do that sometime. No, I want to invite you to be bold in the way you pray. I want to invite you to maybe carve out some time each day, and maybe if this seems super awkward to you, right? Like, I don't even know what to say. Just talk to God. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you to do two things in your prayer time. First thing I want to encourage you to do is to pray big and specific. First thing is to pray big and specific, okay? And so as you pray big and specific, sometimes what I found is sometimes we pray so wimpy. Sometimes we pray so wimpy or so general that we'd never know if God actually came through. Like, God, be with me. I am, right? God, help me. I am, right? Pray big. Number one, pray big and pray specific. Here's the other thing. I don't mean that you've got to specify exactly how God does something. Like, God, do it this way in this timing by Tuesday, right? That's not what I mean. And what I don't mean is, God, I'm praying specific. Like, God, if the answer is yes, would you just give me a sign and make it rain tomorrow? That's not what I mean. What I mean is that pray prayers that are big enough and specific enough that you would know that God came through. So pray big and pray specific prayers. Here's the second thing, and it's this. I want to encourage you to pray like this. Pray short, simple, honest. Pray short, simple, and honest. This should set you free a little bit. This is how kids pray. This is how kids pray. They pray short, they pray simple, and they pray honest. For instance, here's how my kids pray. They pray short. God, help my friend right now. God, make my tummy feel better. God, you know, and they just pray this very short prayers. They're not trying to impress anybody. The second thing is we're to pray short, or to pray simple. And simple means, like, kids, they're not trying to impress God when they pray. They just pray really simple. They don't say, thou dost knowest God, this smorgasbord. You know, kids don't pray like that. God would be like, who are you? I want to talk to you, right? So pray simple. Pray the way you pray. Pray in a simple kind of way, not with religious jargon, but talk to God like you're talking to a friend. And then the last thing is pray honest. Oh, my goodness. Sometime in our prayer time with my family, we're praying with our kids, and they will say the most honest things, like, God, I pray you would help my butt to feel better. You know, it's like, can you say that, you know? But they pray, they're just honest about what they're going through. And it's like, well, let's go with it, you know? Be honest to God, right? So just when you pray, pray short, pray simple, pray honest. Tell God about your struggles and your joys, because God wants to hear from you. He wants to work in your life and in your situation. That's what happens when we pray. So as we come to the table this morning for communion, we're reminded that God wants to connect with us. And on the night in which Jesus gave his life for us, he was with his disciples, and he was around the table. And what he did in just a few hours after that is he went to the cross. And the cross, the purpose of the cross was to make a way to connect with us. And so everything we're talking about points to the cross. Without the cross, we can't pray to God. We can't connect to God. We can't come close to God. But because what Jesus did, he offered his life and his body and his blood to us, it made a way for us to be with God. And so that's why we come to the table this morning. When Jesus was with his disciples, he took the bread, and he gave thanks to the Father, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to the Father. And he said, this is my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The reason the blood is important is because blood means life. He offered his life for us so that we could have life. And so as we come to the table, I want you to know today that this is an open table, that this is an opportunity for us to connect with God, and this is a reminder that God is here and that God wants to draw so near to you, and he wants to help you, and he wants to communicate with you. So as we come to the table, let me pray for us during this time. God, thank you for the way you love us. Thank you, God, for the way that you want to speak to us and you want us to speak back to you. God, thank you for that. And I pray over these elements of bread and juice that they may become the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood. And so, God, as we come to the table this morning, we pray that this would not just be some religious ritual we go through, but God, we know and we trust that when we come to the table, that it's your hands that's offering us a taste of your grace, to experience your grace. Because God, you want to draw close to us through what you did on the cross. And so, Jesus, we come to receive that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.